ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये। नष्टप्राये सभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवतीरुत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। Today we are discussing the pastime of Brahma Vimohana Lila. We will read this sloka on the board. Sloka number 8 of chapter 14, 10th canto. Tat te anukampam susamikshamanah bunjanah eva atmakritam vipakam hrit vak vapurbhi vidadan namah te jiveta yaha मुक्तिपदे सह दायबाग तत्तेनुकंपां सुशमीक्षमानो तत्तेनुकंपां सुशमीक्षमानो बुञ्जान एवात्मकृतं विपाकम् बुञ्जान एवात्मकृतं विपाकम् हृद्वाक्वपूर्वीर्विदधन् नमस्ते हृद्वाक्वपूर्वीर्विदधन् नमस्ते जीवेतयो मुक्तिपदे सदायबाग जीवेतयो मुक्तिपदे सदायबाग तत्तेनुकंपां सुशमीक्षमानो बुञ्जान एवात्मकृतं विपाकम् हृद्वाक्वपूर्वीर्विदधन् नमस्ते जीवेतयो मुक्तिपदे सदायबाग तत्तेनुकंपां सुशमीक्षमानो बुञ्जान एवात्मकृतं विपाकम् हृद्वाक्वपूर्वीर्विदधन् नमस्ते जीवेतयो मुक्तिपदे सदायबाग तेनुकंपां सुशमी गुञ्जान एवात्मकृतं विपाकम् विपाकपूर्वीर्विदधन् नमस्ते एतयो मुक्तिपदे सदायबाग।
Papaburvi Vidadam Namaste. Etayo Mukti Padesadam. Tate Nukampam Susham. Sushamichamam Punjanaivatmakritam Vipakam Etvakvapurvir Vidadam Namaste Vivetayo Mukti Padesadam. Tate nukampam sushamikshamam Bunjanaivatmakritam Vipakam Kakvapurvi Viveyo Mukti Pane.
Matajis, Tate nukampam sushamikshamano Vidranamatmavivam vipakam Hrtvakvapurvir vidadam namaste Ivetayo mukti padesadayam. What word meaning? Tat, therefore, te, your, anukampam, compassion, sushamikshamanaha, earnestly hoping for, bunjanaha, enduring, eva, certainly, atmakritam, done by himself, vipakam, the fruitive results, Hrit, with his heart, vak, words, vapurbi, and body, vidadan, offering, namaha, obeisances, te, unto you, jiveta, lives, yaha, anyone who, muktipade, to the position of liberation, saha, he, dayabhag, the rightful heir. Translation and purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation: My dear Lord, one who earnestly waits for you to bestow your causeless mercy upon him, all the while patiently suffering the reactions of his past misdeeds and offering you respectful obeisances with his heart, words and body, is surely eligible for liberation, for it has become his rightful claim. Purport: Srila Sridhar Swami explains in his commentary that just as a legitimate son has to simply remain alive to gain his inheritance from his father, one who simply remains alive in Krishna consciousness following the regulative principles of bhakti yoga automatically becomes eligible to receive the mercy of the personality of Godhead. In other words, he will be promoted to the kingdom of God. The word Sushamikshamano indicates that a devotee earnestly awaits the mercy of the Supreme Lord, even while suffering the painful effects of previous sinful activities. Lord Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita that a devotee who fully surrenders unto him is no longer liable to suffer the reactions of his previous karma. However, because in his mind a devotee may still maintain the remnants of his previous sinful mentality, the Lord removes the last vestiges of the enjoying spirit by giving his devotee punishments that may sometimes resemble sinful reactions. The purpose of the entire creation of God is to rectify the living entity's tendency to enjoy without the Lord, and therefore the particular punishment given for a sinful activity is specifically designed to curtail the mentality that produced that activity. Although a devotee has surrendered to the Lord's devotional service, until he is completely perfect in Krishna consciousness, he may maintain a slight inclination to enjoy the false happiness of this world. The Lord therefore creates a particular situation to eradicate this remaining enjoying spirit. This unhappiness suffered by a sincere devotee is not technically a karmic reaction. It is rather the Lord's special mercy on inducing his devotee to completely let go of the material world and return home back to Godhead. A sincere devotee earnestly desires to go back to the Lord's abode. Therefore, he willingly accepts the Lord's merciful punishments and continues offering respects and obeisances to the Lord with his heart, words and body. Such a bona fide servant of the Lord, considering all hardships a small price to pay for gaining the personal association of the Lord, certainly becomes a legitimate son of God, and as indicated here by the words Daya Bhak. Just as one cannot approach the sun without becoming fire, one cannot approach the Supreme Pure, Lord Krishna, without undergoing the rigid purificatory process, which may appear like suffering, but which is in fact a curative treatment administered by the personal hand of the Lord. Om Jnanati Mirandasya Jnanan Janasalakaya Sakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Dangayate Girim Yatrapatamaham Vande Sri Gurum Dinatarinam Paramananda Madhavam Sri Krishna Chaitanya Devam Vanchakalpatarabhyasya Kripa Sindhubhaye Vacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Pastachade Satarine Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadara Shivasadi Gaurava Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. This particular verse on the board is spoken by Lord Brahma. Let us see the pastime which is leading towards speaking of this verse. So Lord Krishna, when he was performing his pastimes in this Bhuloka Vrindavan, at the age of 5, when he was about 5 years old, along with his cowherd boyfriends, he used to take the calves to the pasturing grounds in the forest. Generally, the boys take the calves and the elderly men, they take the cows. So, one of the days, when Lord Krishna was taking the calves along with his boyfriends to the forest, they came across a very interesting spot. Interesting spot which they have not seen before. It was like a huge cave, something like a hill, and they thought there is a huge cave, and the cave was decorated with so many things. Sharp peaks, like some small peaks and a nice road. They thought this is something interesting. And Lord Krishna was not so much impressed with that. But other boys, they are already very impressed and they already started walking inside the cave. In fact, it was not a cave. It was the huge mouth, open mouth of Agashur. Agashur is brother of Putana and Bakashur, who were already killed by Lord Krishna. So Agashur was very angry. He said, I will somehow or other finish off this Krishna. So he took the form of a huge python. Huge python. And it is said that the length of this python was about 8 miles. 8 miles long. And he opened his mouth wide, so much so that the upper jaw was touching the, you know, clouds. It was touching the sky. It's huge. And his tongue was looking like a road. It's not a royal road, but not a very smooth road also. It's a rough road. Huh? National highway. This is super way to his belly, which is a storehouse of all dead bodies. So when his mouth was open, that small peaks, they were always actually teeth, sharp teeth. It was looking like a peak, actually, decorated peak. Like, you know, when you are going on a road, both sides you have some decoration, like it's a welcome gate kind of thing. And it is said that from his mouth, bad smell was coming. Shri Radha Ras Vihari ji ki, Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman ki, Shri Gaur Nitai ki, Srila Prabhupada ki. Because there is rotten meat inside his belly, you know, that smell was coming. But then the coward boys were, they didn't mind. They said, no, it's okay. Go and find out what is there. It's close cave, so there may be some little bad smell. That's okay. Let us figure it out what else is there inside. Lord Krishna was waiting outside and he was trying to prohibit them. They are not to be prohibited. They are uncontrolled. They just went in. They are in the mood of playing anyway. So, when Krishna saw that all the boys are already there, he said that, okay, I have to go also now. And the boys thought that there may be some danger also here. They didn't know. They are not so foolish that everything will be fine. They knew that there may be something wrong, but then they said, no, anyway, Krishna is there, you know, he's there, he will take care, no problem. So, the Agashura was waiting. All the boys went. They are not the real target. Their real target is Krishna. He is still outside, so he is still opening. So then Krishna thought, okay, let me also go inside. So Krishna walked in. So Agashura thought, now, wonderful, I am going to get my victim. Get in. So, when Krishna entered, Agashura tried to close the mouth. But then by the time, Krishna already knew what to do. Krishna actually started expanding himself, even though he's a small boy, 5 years old boy. He started expanding. It's not very something new for him anyway. As Vamandev, he could take one step, and occupy the entire lower planetary system. He can take another step to occupy all the higher planetary system. For him, Agashura, having 35,000 feet, wide open mouth is not a big deal. It's only 35,000. It's not even 1 kilometer. 1 mile bhi nahi. So the Lord in his mouth, he started expanding so much so that Agashura was feeling great pain. What is it? He thought that he is going to swallow and then like Yeah, python, he just captures and, you know, suffocates the living entity, and the living entity dies, then swaha goes inside, that's all. Here he thought that he can suffocate and close the mouth and suffocate the all covered boys, including Lord Krishna, but he is not able to close fully, and on the other hand, he has to open more. He only opened up to 35,000 feet. Now he has more. Krishna is expanding actually. Expanding. And he was feeling unbearable pain. And so much so that finally, you know, he could not breathe. Life air was not able to stay within his body. So the demigods are looking from the higher planetary system. From first floor, second floor, third floor, like that, seven planetary system. They are watching. Oh, something nice happening. So, in this way, by unbearable pain, the soul left the body and it went outside and it stayed for some time. And all the demigods could see that. Agasura's soul, it actually left the body. And after some time remaining in the sky, it actually merged into the body of Krishna. So, quoting Srila Jiva Goswami, Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur comments that the soul, Agasura, he entered in the body, but he has not merged into Krishna. Exactly like Jaya and Vijay. Even after entering into the body, they got their original form. So in the same way, Agasura also got the personal association of the Lord. Simply because the Lord actually touched his body with his lotus feet. He has to walk inside that so-called road, no? So he just entered. Though by touching, by coming in touch with Krishna's lotus feet, he was so completely purified that he is elevated to the position of being an associate of the Lord, just like Jaya and Vijay. So, when demigods saw this, how wonderful, the Asura, the person who comes to kill Krishna, still Krishna is so kind and merciful that he gives his personal association in the spiritual world. So with this, all the demigods who are watching this wonderful pastime, they were jubilant. They started beating, you know, drums and playing the musical instruments and things. It was like a celebration. This celebration was so high that it could be heard in Satya Loka also. Lord Brahma. Sometimes on the street somebody is taking a procession. Dum, 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 they beat something. People want to know what's happening outside. Chalo bahar jaake dekhi. It is to get the attention of the people. Please come and see. We have a procession here. So here, Lord Brahma thought, what is this happening down? Some jubilation is there. So he came and saw that, you know, Agasura is killed and all the demigods are celebrating that and Krishna is coming out. So he thought that, okay, what's happening down there? Let me watch a little bit more. So, Lord Krishna, along with all the covered boys, they came out after Krishna glanced at them, because Agasura, he was trying to suffocate everybody, and all the boys actually fell unconscious inside the mouth of Agasura. So Lord Krishna has to just glance at them, once glance, and they all got up as if nothing has happened. Oh, chalo, let's, what are we doing here? Let's go. They saw this snake is dead. Oh, they came to know this is what they entered is actually the mouth of a big python. And long, 8 miles long python. They said, okay, let this lie down here. Now we'll go further. We'll go to our regular place for pasturing and find a good spot for picnic. Because they brought a lot of foodstuffs, prasad, mahaprasad. Each one carried from their house, their mothers have lovingly made a different item and gave it to them for lunch. They said, no, we'll go find a nice place so that, you know, we can play and have our picnic. So with this, Lord Krishna and other covered boys, they reached the banks of a river. And they found the river was very nicely flowing. So many lotuses were blooming. Nice breeze is coming. The sand on the banks of the river, very smooth, clean. And nearby, there is very nice tender grass. They saw this is a very nice place. They have calf. Calves cannot eat very hard leaves or hard grass. Calves need very tender grass, very smooth. Very smooth grass is there, and place is also nice. This is the right place, so let us stop here. Yes, Krishna said, yes, very nice. So they all tied the calves to the trees nearby so that the calves can eat the tender grass. They tied. They didn't leave it like that, Jalo. They tied, and then they sat. So Krishna sat in the middle, and all the gopas, boys, they all sat in a circle around him. And demigods, when they were seeing, it was looking like a lotus, fully gloomed lotus. And Krishna is like a whorl in the lotus, and all these boys are like petals. So each one brought their lunch. Somebody brought some leaves from nearby and kept the leaf as a plate. Somebody brought some flowers and then kept flowers or plates, maybe a big flower. They kept the flower. Somebody couldn't find and they said, some stone, rock, on that they made a plate also. Somebody kept a bunch of leaves and a plate. Somebody said that my basket itself is a plate, opened the basket and like that everybody opened their lunch boxes. And they were looking at Krishna and they felt that Krishna is looking at them. They said, oh, somebody who is sitting very far away also thinking, hey, Krishna is very personally reciprocating with me. Somebody is in the front also is seeing Krishna, Krishna is looking at him. Somebody in the back also seeing Krishna, Krishna is looking at them. That is Krishna. We can't do that. So in this way, Lord Krishna also opened his box. They started enjoying the lunch. And then as they were enjoying the lunch, one bumblebee came close to Krishna and Krishna said, hey bumblebee, why have you come here? You have come to disturb my Brahmana friend. Don't kill him, you'll get a sinful reaction. Then everybody started laughing. Jokingly, Krishna was commenting at the bumblebee. And somebody opened his lunch box, said that he brought some item, he is looking at the next plate. What other person has brought? Hey, you got that? Yes, yes, you give me that, you take this, exchange. And Krishna took, he got dahi rice. South Indian dahi rice, I don't know what dahi rice is, at least somebody got dahi rice. And Krishna took the dahi rice in his left hand. Left hand. And dahi rice he was holding and some amla pickle also, acha, and little fruits on the finger, in between the finger, and he was eating dahi rice. And somebody said, I have got this preparation. He said, give me that. That fellow has already eaten half of it. He said, give me that. Juta, dusra, maha maha prasad. So in this way, they were all enjoying different preparation they brought. And Brahma, remember, he is watching also what is happening down. And Brahma was watching and he saw this Krishna. First of all, he is taking the food in his left hand. Generally, Vedic culture, you eat with right hand, not left hand. Right hand. And you don't even use the left hand for, Kavi kavi, somebody serves chapati, somebody takes chapati, don't ask my partner. As if it's a paper. Left hand is not used. Uncultured people may use it, cultured, no. No left hand. And Brahma is seeing, hey? Left hand lakkar ki aisa kaara hai. Not only that, he is eating from other's plate also. Hey, tumhara kya hai? That also is taking. Brahma knows God as Yajna Bhuk. It is stated in the scriptures that the Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, eats those things which are offered in Yajna. Any Yajna is done, first the offering is done to Lord Vishnu. Bhoktaram Yajna Tapasam Sarva Loka Maheshwaram. He is the enjoyer, all the sacrificial offerings. So when somebody offers, you know, ghee, swaha, not that you are just putting in the fire and, you know, it is getting burnt, you know. So the tongues, the fire with the flames, as a tongue, the Lord is accepting. Yes, he is eating the ghee actually. He's not just wasted there. Some people will say, why are you wasting ghee in the fire, you know, give it to me, I will eat, you know. What the use of feeding you? You are feeding Lord, you know, Supreme Lord. You may not know how the things are happening, but doesn't mean that, you know, we are just wasting the ghee in the fire. Yajna Bhuk. He accepts the offering which is offered in the sacrificial fire. And he accepts the offering which is given to the Brahmanas. When one is feeding the Brahmana, it is said that, you know, you feed the Brahmana, give charity to Brahmana. And Krishna, when the Brahmana is tasting, Krishna is accepting that through the tongues of the Brahmana. Krishna is tasting the food. These are the standard ways God accepts food according to scripture. But there is no standard way that is mentioned that he will take the dahi rice in the left hand and start eating the right hand. That was not there. So Brahma thought, what's happening here? So he was bewildered. He thought that, let me check it out, everything is all right or not. So, being the creator, having lot of mystic power, so he made the calves to move from that place by attracting them with the grass in the far distance. Usually when you look at a distance, it looks more greener, you know. The same place, the grass may be same everywhere, but very close, you are very closely looking at, so it may not look that green because you are looking from a top angle. Whereas you look at the distance, other side of the river, generally it is said that the other side of the river is more greener than this side. An animal may think that other side of the river is very green and he will try to go there as good as this side, and when he looks from that side to this side, this will look more greener. This is Maya, optical illusion. You are looking at from a different angle, it looks more greener. So the calves, they were attracted towards a distant, you know, grass, and they left this place where boys are sitting. Somebody noticed that, hey, where are the calves? They are not there. Immediately Krishna said, no, don't worry. You are all enjoying nice lunch. You carry on. I will bring the calves back. They said, that's also okay. Krishna can bring faster than us anyway. He said, okay. Then Krishna, he was having dahi rice in the left hand. He didn't finish that and wash his hand in the river. They are sitting on the banks of the river. He didn't watch that. He just started walking to find out. On the way, thoda, aisa kaata jaana. Brahma is still worried. Hey? You don't walk and eat, you know. You sit and eat properly. Walking and eating on the road. You buy something and keep on walking and eating. That doesn't happen in the Vedic culture. Lord Krishna is walking with the dahi rice, naan, going on. And he went everywhere, the mountains and caves. Hey? He could not find the calves. Then he thought, let me come back. When he came back to the spot where they were having the lunch, and he couldn't find the covered boys also. They are also not there. So, Krishna thought for a moment, and he could understand whose mischief that is. He could understand Lord Brahma is trying to exhibit his mystic power. So Brahma actually took all the calves and the covered boys and he covered them under his mystic power, and as if they are gone to sleep. So knowing that Lord Brahma is playing the mischief, Krishna actually expanded himself as many number of calves and as many number of cowherd boys. They came. You'll have to know that each person may have different bodily features. Each person has come with different dhoti and things like that. Turban and whatever. They came with different baskets, with different items to eat. So everyone came. It is said that he expanded exactly like each one of the items. Even the calves. Sometimes we may not recognize one calf from another calf. It looks all same for us. But if somebody covered men, those who are daily dealing with it, they know that this calf is different than that calf. Different colors, different way, etc., etc. Exactly same. Special cloning effect. Exactly same. So much so that when he returned back to the village, nobody knew that something is wrong. Everybody thought it's another day. So the calves went in the cow shed. As soon as the cow, the mother cow saw the calf, the cow was overwhelmed. And from his milk bag, the milk is flowing. And the calves, when they went closer, the cow was licking, uncontrolled to the calves, their own babies, calves. It is stated that the cows have actually given birth another calf also after this calf. The calf that has come from the forest. There is a sister or brother baby also. But then this calf, cow was looking like anything and the milk was flowing. It is trying to feed the milk. You'll have to know that these calves are already grown up. They stopped taking milk. They have already started eating grass, Once the calf starts eating grass, he's not going to drink the milk. Now, the mother is very overwhelmed, so the calves also started drinking the milk. The cowherd boys, they went to the house. The mothers were overwhelmed, as if something very special in their son. And so much so that they also started secreting milk, breast milk. They wanted to feed the milk to the boys who are 5 years old. You don't expect 5 years old boy to drink milk. They have given birth to the juniors also. But this boy, they were trying, you take milk, motherly affection exhibiting. Nobody doubted still. Went on. So in this way, just 5 to 6 days before 1 year after this happened, 1 year, it went on for a year, earthly year. It went on for 355 days. Just 5 days before 1 year, the cows, they were grazing on top of the Govardhan hill. The cows can climb the hill, Whereas the calves, they can't climb. They graze on the foothill. So the cow, one of the cow, he saw from the top of the Govardhan hill down, and the cow saw actually her calf down, all the way down. As soon as she saw, she started running from the hill. Running on the road is one thing and running on the slope of the hill is another thing. But they didn't mind. They didn't care, so to say. They started rushing. And the cowherd men, they wanted to stop them. Hey, where are you going down? No, they could not be controlled. And they thought that we should also go down and control these cows. So when the cows came down, they reached their calves and they started licking their body and secreting so much milk. And the calves were drinking the milk. And the cowherd men, they came from the hilltop to down to take back the cows. So when they came down, they saw their son, each one of them. When they saw their son, they were also overwhelmed. They were embracing and smelling the head, parental affection, they were exhibiting. Balaram was looking at this. He said, "Kya ho raha hai idhar? It's not like this. Something is, kuch to hai." He said, Krishna, something I am finding wrong, you know. Acha, you didn't find 355 days? It has gone 355 days, huh? It's not the first day, it's not the next day this happened. So long, nobody could ever notice there is something wrong. And the first person to notice was Balaram after 355 days. And that also he had some guess, something is wrong. It is said that Lord Krishna, when he covers with his mystic power, nobody can overcome it. Be it the very first expansion, Balaram. He didn't also notice it for 355 days. Then he slowly started, you know, withdrawing the mystic power, so Balaram could notice it. That establishes the supremacy of Lord Krishna, who is the original personality of Godhead, who cannot be excelled by anybody. Period. So, in this way, Balaram could actually recognize that this is, there is some mystic power by means of which Krishna, it's all, he could understand this is Krishna. So he said, please explain, what are you doing? You know? So Lord Krishna then explains how this wonderful activity of Lord Brahma stealing all the calves and the cowherd boys, and how he has expanded himself to, you know, make sure that nobody in the village, in their home, they find that they have lost something. So when Lord Brahma was watching this, 1 year, almost 1 year has passed now. This 1 year is actually for Brahma, it was actually one moment in his calculation. He only just went and put them in, you know, yoga nidra kind of thing and came back. By the time 1 year has passed in the earthly year and all these things have happened. So when Brahma came and saw that Krishna was there and all the cowherd boys, all the calves, they are also there. He said, what happened? I just went and put them in nidra, and what a mystic power. I have covered them in my mystic power. And he saw the same thing. He said, oh, maybe Krishna must have brought all of them by some other mystic power. He went to see what happened, and actually they are there still. They are still sleeping. Again he came back and saw. These are different things. He was confused. What's happening here? So, Lord Krishna showed Lord Brahma how all this, when Brahma was looking at the boys and the calves, they slowly started turning blue. And then they slowly, Krishna's feature with four hands, Sankha Chakra Padma Gada, and every one of them, actually Brahma could see as a Vishnu Tattva, you know, Vishnu Murtis. And with wonderful yellow garments, ornaments, Kaustubha jewel, Srivatsa mar, because it's Krishna. It's not Vishnu Duta, it's Vishnu's. And a wonderful garland, Tulasi garland, and you know, smile, and everyone is smiling at him. And Brahma was seeing, "Are, what is this?" And slowly Krishna is showing a video for, you know, Brahma. And he slowly shows all the Vrindavan Dham. And then he shows how every one of the entity that he has stolen is all actually Krishna, he is manifested here. And slowly brings back and everybody disappears. And then Krishna is standing alone with dahi rice in the left hand and the right hand, little bit morsels. He showed everything and withdrew everything and showed that this is me. So, Brahma could immediately understand that his mystic power was superseded left and right and center. Of course, he had mystic power, creator of the universe, but compared to the mystic power of Krishna, they stand nowhere near. So, Lord Brahma, who was still seated on his swan carrier, got down. You have to get down. With his, he fell down at the lotus feet of Krishna like a golden rod. His body is golden color. He fell down like a golden rod, and his four crowns, four heads, four crowns are there touching the lotus feet of Krishna. So Lord Brahma, he started the tears of joy from his eight eyes. And it is said that it is bathing Lord Krishna's lotus feet, and with his two hands he then started wiping the four faces, all the four faces he was trying to wipe, and started to glorify Lord Krishna. It is stated that the mystic power of Lord Brahma is like the light emitted by a glow worm. There are some glow, the worm which has got some little light. Kya hai Hindi mein? Jugulu. Anyway, glow worm. Okay. It is very impressive when it is a very dark night. That also Amavasya, there is no light. So it will look like very, impressive light. So much light, And glow worm itself may be thinking, see, I am lighting this entire universe. He may be thinking, what is lighting? We know. He is thinking, because the neighborhood is lit up. He thinks that the entire universe is lit up, But the sun rises, you can't even recognize where is the glow worm's light. It is stated that the mystic power of Brahma is like the light of glow worm. Whereas the power with which Krishna exhibited this wonderful pastime is like the sunlight. Nowhere nearby. So, the end of 13th chapter in Brahma Vimohan Leela, and the 13th chapter is the last chapter that Srila Prabhupada wrote Bhaktivedanta Purports. The 14th chapter onwards it is done by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. So this is the last purport that Prabhupada is writing. The last sentence Prabhupada is writing. Brahma offered prayers with great humility because he was very much proud of his mystic power. That is why he wanted to test it out. Like a glow worm becoming very proud of its own light, not knowing what is the real light. Glow worm can be thinking, but glow worm becomes very humbled by the sunrise. When the sun rises, he can see farther actually. He can know something more. It's not that only little bit area around him lit up. The entire thing is lit up. Humility. When one recognizes the power of another higher person, then he has to become humble. If he has not recognized, means he has not seen the world. Brahma offered prayers with great humility and respect and attention to Lord Krishna. That's the end of 13th chapter, the last sentence that Prabhupada writes purport, end of Bhaktivedanta purports. Next chapter starts with prayers. After this, Lord Brahma offers prayers to Lord Krishna. So there are, it's a whole chapter, we may take some few interesting points that Lord Brahma makes here. If a philosopher, Lord Brahma says, this is all Lord Brahma now. Lord Brahma says, if a philosopher thinks that he is a very intelligent person, he has got great intelligence, and with his intelligence, he thinks that he can understand absolute truth, God. If he thinks like that, Lord Brahma says that it is as good as you take the rice husk, the shell of the rice, the real grain shell is called husk. You take the husk. Actually, after you beat the whole paddy, you can separate the husk and rice. You beat it, then rice comes, husk is used for something else. You take the whole bunch of husk and try to beat that. Will any time you will get the rice? There is no rice in the husk, you will never get. If the paddy rice is there, you can get it. If rice is not there, how can you get it? Somebody thinks that by means of their speculative intelligence, by means of their great intelligence, they can understand God. They can understand absolute truth. They are just beating the husk. They will never be able to understand. Lord Brahma is telling. They will never be able to come anywhere close to understanding the absolute truth. And suppose somebody says, no, I am more intelligent. A great scientist says, I will count how many atoms are there in this universe. First of all, counting how many atoms are there in this table itself is a great task. Just in this, how many atoms are there is a big task. Atoms. How many atoms are there? Somebody says, I will count all the atoms in this universe. How much snow is there on the North Pole, South Pole and Himalayas and all the hills? Snow. How much is there? How many particles of sunshine being emitted? Sunshine, it's all, no, you get the shine, so many particles are there coming, so many molecules. How many molecules are coming out from the sun globe? Somebody says, I will be able to count it. How many stars are there in the night sky? Somebody says, I will count it. Lord Brahma says, even if somebody does, hypothetically speaking, really it's impossible, but take it for granted, one can do it. Chalo, karta hai. Then Lord Brahma says, even if one will be able to count number of atoms in this universe, how much snow is there on the hills and the poles, how many molecules are coming from sun, how many stars are there in the night sky? Even if one can do that, still he cannot understand the number of qualities of Lord Krishna. Transcendental qualities of Lord Krishna is so infinite that it is impossible for anyone to do it. Even something like an act of impossibility can be done by somebody, that fellow cannot also do this. One can understand then how much is the qualities, transcendental qualities Krishna possesses. Inconceivable. For a living, it is inconceivable for Lord Brahma, what to speak of ordinary living entities. Lord Brahma says it is inconceivable for me. Somebody may say that I can understand Lord Krishna, Lord Brahma says. Somebody may claim that I understand fully Lord Krishna, Lord Brahma says. I say that it is inconceivable for me, Brahma. Something that is inconceivable for him, what to speak of for ordinary living entities. It is completely beyond the scope of one's conception in the material domain. Lord Brahma says that I am seven spans of my hand. This is one span, seven span, one span. We are not even seven spans actually. You measure yourself, you will find out you are little shorter than this. Lord Brahma's height is seven spans of this, his hand. He says, with seven spans of my hand, with this height, and me being the creator of this universe with seven lower planetary system and seven higher planetary system, I think that I am greatly powerful. I thought, not thinking now. Whereas, he tells Lord Krishna, this one universe is nothing but a very tiny bubble from your body. Unlimited universes are coming. Unlimited universes are coming. And in one breath you are just giving birth to so many universes. In another, no inhaling, you are taking it back. And with that one small universe, and with seven span of my hand height, and creating this universe, I thought that I was so greatly powerful. Now I think that I am greatly insignificant, Lord Brahma says. Because Lord Krishna's Every moment millions of universes are coming, millions of universes are going back. What to speak of one tiny universe in which Lord Brahma thinks that he is greatly powerful. Lord Brahma prays, "My dear Lord, let me be in this life. And in the next, if that is so," Lord Brahma is thinking about his next life also. "Let me be your devotee. Suppose, if I have to be born in the lower species of life," Lord Brahma is talking, "even I have to be born in the lower species of life, please make sure that I am somehow or other engaged in devotional service or be around somebody who is engaged in devotional service, so that I will get a little benefit of somehow or other getting little bit taste of Krishna consciousness." Lord Brahma is praying. Lord Brahma says, "There are so many yajnas since time immemorial done. So many yajnas, because Krishna is known as yajna book, and he is eating so many offerings done in the yajnas. So many oblations are given, swaha, swaha, so many yajnas from the very time immemorial." And he says, "My dear Lord, you don't appear to be so much satisfied with all these yajnas compared to just now you in the house of gopis." When the mothers, so many gopis, all these gopis in that village, when they saw that Mother Yasoda was very nicely taking care of Lord Krishna, feeding Lord Krishna with the breast milk, decorating Krishna, so many things, they always used to feel that Mother Yasoda is so fortunate, we are not as fortunate as Yasoda. They always wanted to serve Lord Krishna like Yasoda, but obviously Krishna is Yasoda's child. During this 1 year, to satisfy them, Lord Krishna now has expanded into different boys, calves, etc. So it is actually Krishna in everybody's house. So these mothers, when they saw their child, quote unquote, Krishna, they were so overwhelmed, and they started, you know, feeding their breast milk to their child, who are 5 years old. 5 years nobody drinks. And Brahma says, "I saw you more satisfied in drinking the breast milk of the gopi than all the yajnas done since time immemorial, yajna book, you have eaten so many things, the yajna. I didn't see you that satisfied than getting satisfied by drinking the breast milk of the gopis in the Braj." He says, how fortunate are these people. If I had to be born as some entities in this Braj, even as a plant, so that these wonderful associates of yours, when they walk around here and there, their dust may at least fall on my head." Lord Brahma is talking. They go here and there, something falls and I am greatly benefited. So, Lord Brahma, in this way, says, as long as this universe exists, as long as sun shines in this universe, I offer my obeisances again and again at your lotus feet. Eternal obeisances. Lord Brahma did 3 parikramas to Lord Krishna, and then he got back on his swan carrier and left, and Krishna is still standing with his dahi rice, pickle and fruits, and standing, and all the boys, they all came back, and it is like a very momentary break, and they said, "Oh Krishna, you have come back, very nice." It's actually 1 year passed. 1 year passed. And they all came back. Now the real boys and real calves have come. Krishna already withdrew his mystic power. And they all went back to their home. So this 1 year has passed, and Lord Brahma in his prayer says that in this particular sloka that is on the board, that a devotee of Lord Krishna, he actually unconditionally renders service to Krishna, even if he has to undergo so many troubles. This is actually the mood of all the Brajabasis. Even if there is some trouble, like in the Gopas, they didn't even bother. Even if the trouble comes, they just depend on Krishna for everything. So, exactly like a son depends fully on the father, Krishna being the supreme father, when the son completely depends on Krishna, son depends on the father, he has no need to worry. Everything that his father has got, he will get it. So Sridhar Swami comments on this, saying that a legitimate son just needs to live. He should not die. If he is dead, he cannot get his father's property. He just live, exist somewhere. So once he keeps existing, he will get the, inheritance from his father. The same way, Sridhar Swami explained, if a devotee remains in Krishna consciousness, exists in Krishna consciousness, follow the four regulative principles, chant Hare Krishna, just exist in Krishna consciousness, he says, invariably you get the lotus feet of Krishna. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says, existing doesn't mean you exist like a bellow of breathing. Existing means life. Existing means somebody does something useful for Krishna consciousness. Not just existing means just be around. Just being around will not help. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says, if somebody just remains, just only breathing, what's the difference between his breathing and the breathing of the bellow? The blacksmith uses a bellow, pumping the air. That also is looking like breathing, inhaling, exhaling, inhaling, exhaling. What's the use of that? Vishnu Chakravarti, no. You be sincerely and seriously engaged in Krishna consciousness. Somebody will say, no, I get some trouble in between, what to do? Trouble? This sloka says that even because of, Lord Brahma says, even because of one's sinful activities from the past, if one has to suffer, he doesn't mind. But then Acharyas has explained that so-called suffering is not because of the sinful reactions of the past. It is exactly like the father, if he wants to treat the son who has got some disease, he may try to give a medicine. And that medicine may be sometimes bitter. Neem juice. Father generally, mother gives milk, very nice milk. And suppose you got some problem and the father says, please take this neem juice. What is this? Neem juice? Where is my milk? It is said that the father is giving the neem juice to cure your disease. That is not, he is punishing you. In the same way, because of our conditioning in this material world, we are conditioned to think materially. We are conditioned to enjoy this material world. Our senses are conditioned to be attracted to sense objects. So Krishna cannot take a person like this to the spiritual world. He has to cure your disease first. For curing the disease, he may give sometimes medicine in the form of little bit suffering related to that conditioning. That may be little bit bitter. It may be very difficult. Somebody may be undergoing a difficult phase. But still, the person says, no, irrespective of anything, this is unconditional, irrespective of anything, Krishna's lotus feet is my shelter. I'm not going to leave Krishna's lotus feet. Whatever may happen, even if he crushes also, fine, udar bhi rahega. So when one does that, then it is stated here, Muktipade, liberation, shelter at the lotus feet of Krishna is inheritance. It is his property. Krishna's lotus feet becomes his property. Shelter at the lotus feet becomes his property. This is a sloka. Once in Gaur Leela, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya recited the same sloka actually. And the same sloka, instead of Mukti Pade, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya recited what? He said Bhakti Pade. Chaitanya said, hey, ruku. Why you are changing the sloka? Vedic texts, they are absolute. You don't need to have editing on that. You may do editing of your own writing. Typographical errors, misunderstanding, not clear. You can do some editing. You don't have to do editing on the slokas actually. They are absolute. He said, hey, wait a minute. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, this is Mukti Pade is given. Why are you saying Bhakti Pade? Why are you changing? Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, Mukti means liberation. It is mostly giving the understanding of impersonal liberation. Kaivalyam narakayate. It is like suffering in the naraka. No, no, I don't want mukti. No, it is instead of mukti, I better be engaged in devotional service. I don't need mukti. Just be engaged. Even now, if I have to be engaged, I am better. I don't need any mukti. He said, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, there is another meaning of Mukti Pade. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Krishna is known as Mukunda, one who is giver of Mukti. And all these five kinds of Muktis, they all at the lotus feet of Krishna. So Mukti Pade means that lotus feet of Krishna in which all the liberations are taking shelter. So that lotus feet becomes your inheritance, not impersonal liberation. Sarvam Bhattacharya is also a scholar in Sanskrit. He said, my dear Lord, I accept it. This is good, you have said it. But then, anybody hears Mukti, they only get the impression of impersonal. So I am more satisfied with Bhakti only. Bhakti chahiye mere ko. Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, theek hai. Yeah, hardcore Mayavadi, who even wanted to teach Chaitanya Mahaprabhu the meaning of Vedanta Sutra from the impersonal understanding, such hardcore Mayavadi, by the wonderful association of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he started hating that liberation which he was hankering for before. That is the power of association with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So in this way, Lord Brahma says, these associates of yours are so wonderful. I don't know what they have done so much devotional service. I am hankering to do that. That's the reason. I want to be born as a devotee if I had to be born. If I have to be born as an animal, let me be around the devotee. And if I had to be born as grass or some bush, let me be born in Braj so that I may get even the dust from the lotus feet of the devotee, so that I can get the taste for your lotus feet, which is actually the source of giving deliverance to everybody, anybody and everybody. So in this way, Lord Brahma offers his prayers and goes back to his planet and our acharyas have explained that during this 1 year of Lord Krishna expanding himself as all the gopas in Vrindavan, all the marriages of all the gopis has happened actually. They were all married to so many gopas, but they are all Krishna actually. Because Krishna has expanded as so many gopas, so acharyas have explained that when Lord Krishna is playing with, dancing with the gopis, somebody said that why is he dancing with somebody else's wife? But actually they were all married to Krishna, because of which there is nothing wrong. There is no wrongdoing in Krishna actually dancing with all the gopis. So in this way, in this pastime of Brahma Vimohana Leela, we can understand that Krishna's supremacy and his mystic power, Yogeshwara, is so supreme that not only Brahma, even anybody and everybody, including the top demigods, Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva also, which we will not discuss now, it's already time, in the form of Mohini Murti, actually he can put even Lord Shiva into illusion. So nobody is exempted. And his mystic power is so much that none of the residents could guess, even including Lord Brahma. For 355 days, including Lord Balaram, including Lord Balaram, he couldn't figure it out. 355 days, what happened? Only 5 days before the year ended, he could figure it out. That also because Lord Krishna started slowly withdrawing his mystic power. So that is the supremacy of Lord Krishna, and we are celebrating Lord Krishna's wonderful appearance day, just 2 days away from now. So we remember such wonderful pastimes of Lord Krishna and try to engage ourselves unconditionally under all circumstances. There is nothing like, when everything is fine, I will chant Hare Krishna. When something is going wrong, Haribol. You should say Haribol always here, not Haribol karke bahar. Unconditionally under every circumstances. When one does that, Krishna notices him, he recognizes him. Hey, this fellow is my devotee. When Krishna is my devotee, that devotee unconditionally under every circumstances, anything that happens, he doesn't leave the lotus feet of Krishna. Then Krishna says, velo, chao. He gives the shelter at his lotus feet. That is the ultimate goal of every living entities. Thank you very much. We'll stop here. Any questions?
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna Prabhu. Where was the Balaram on the day Agasura was killed?
On the day Balaram, actually it was actually birthday of Balaram. So his mother did not allow him to go to the forest. He was taken care with extra decoration and a nice feast at home itself. So Balaram was not there on the day when all the gopas went to the forest when they were stolen by Lord Brahma. He was not there. If he was there, this pastime would not happen in this way, because Balaram could not be put under illusion also by Brahma. So the arrangement was such that Balaram will not be on the scene. So it was his birthday. Balaram Jayanti day. Balaram Jayanti day, Brahma Vimohana Leela happened. Balaram was not there. If he was there, either he has to go with Krishna, or he has to be put under illusion by Brahma. Putting under illusion Brahma is out of question. If he goes with Krishna, it may not be Krishna who will be expanding, then he will know the first day itself. And then he cannot have the same feeling and exchanges with all the coward boys. So purposefully Krishna enacted this pastime on Balaram Jayanti day. Balaram was at home that day. Grantharai Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Shri Krishna Janmashtami Maha Mahotsav ki, Itai Gaura Premanande.